Welcome, everyone, to Skid Row Studios, downtown Los Angeles. This is the weekly wrap-up where we get you caught up in the week's biggest stories. Like us on Facebook. Catch the show every day, Sunday, 4 p.m., every Sunday, 4 p.m. Pacific time at skidrowstudios.com or subscribe free at iTunes Store. I'm your host, Ken August. I am joined by the host of Bad Advice, Drew Marks. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here.
And Chris Z is with us today. How are you, my man?
Couldn't be better, Gus.
Hi, how are you, man?
Wow. I have another beer.
Ouch. I thought I was the one drinking. As always, feel free to call the show. That was tough to get over. Call the show, 800-893-9562. They tell you to be careful when talking about politics, religion, and sex. And so today we'll talk about politics, religion, and John Travolta. Is that close?
Sex-ish? So we'll talk about gay sex.
Attempted. Right. But first, let's go into a big announcement or a show of support by President Obama. President Obama came out and he came out in support of same-sex marriage. He can't sing, can he not?
Dude, that guy is so talented.
No. He came out and made this announcement recently.
He used to think that for gay and lesbian couples, civil unions would suffice. But now President Obama has concluded that's not enough. In an ABC News interview, he became the first president ever to support gay marriage.
For me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
For gay rights groups, those words were history-making and a tectonic cultural shift. But opponents warned Obama's trespassing on religious belief and undermining marriage as an institution. Obama's decision sets up a clear electoral choice, with Mitt Romney opposing gay marriage.
But my view is that marriage itself is a relationship between a man and a woman, and that's my own preference. I know other people have differing views. This is a very tender and sensitive topic.
Between a man and a woman and another woman and another
and a couple
woman.
Other women. Yeah.
You know this,
and especially if they're young.
Yes.
Grandpa Romney had 12 wives?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Romney is just the perfect guy to speak. That's what you want, a Mormon. You know, that would be like the Muslim going, oh, yeah. This is between, me and my 14 wives. What's wrong with you doing something unnatural?
Something this private is between a man and his wife and his other wives. Well, the question is this, though. I mean, this is not a new wedge item, a wedge topic, but is it a good time for Obama to come out with that? Because I think a lot of people didn't think he was going to come out with something like this until after the election.
For me, I think this is one of those things where you're sort of trying to psych up your base. Because it's certainly a left-leaning issue, to be sure.
Yeah, there's no...
And the religious conservatives, the right-wing conservatives, he's not getting them anyway, so...
Can I object? Now, you guys have got a couple years on me, so I defer to your judgment and your knowledge.
Well, you are 16, yes.
But I will say this. Can you really quantify it as a or marginalize it as a leftist, left-wing or progressive issue, whatever you want to call it? I think any rational person has to admit that this is the way the zeitgeist is moving. This is not something to be debated. If you look at the statistics in the last 10 years, support has increased. Even in Mexico, they have certain states that are recognizing gay marriage.
And the numbers among young compared to older people is also highly in favor of gay marriage. However, you kind of disqualified the rest of the statement with the beginning when you said any rational person.
Right. Other people, the left versus right, the only real opposition is a religious right. That's it. Everybody else is sort of on board or getting there.
Yeah. How many atheists, by the way, do you think are against gay marriage?
No, I do think that there are African Americans and other groups that may not be extremists in their faith. It may be faith based, their feelings on the subject, but they're not.
And you were right. I remember when Prop 8 was out here, it did not do well among the black community.
The Mormons were actually the ones pushing that, and they got the black community support.
It blows my mind that, I'll go visit my folks every once in a while in Florida. And you know, you'll see some people, you'll hear somebody say something, and you're like, I just hear somebody mumble some racist comment in the background, or you'll hear a story where I don't talk to that guy, that guy's racist as could be. And you're like, well, how can an old Jew look at somebody else and be like, I'm going to judge that guy immediately based on nothing?
Well, it's the same thing with the black community. It's like, I don't, how are the blacks not up to speed on a civil rights issue?
Well, they have that, you know, that reputation. And if you've seen my stand-up act, I'm clearly not afraid of the repercussions of the things I say. But I will tell you, they have not reciprocated. Certain groups like the Jews went to bat for them during the civil rights movements, and they have a debt to repay. And from what I see and what I hear and what I read, they're not holding up their end.
I mean, but now here's the thing. Politically, is it smart for Obama? I mean, is it smart to come out before the election? Because, yes, first thing it does is, you said it may motivate his base. It may motivate Romney's base more than Romney was able to motivate Romney's base.
It's possible. You know, I'm not even really sure where I stand on that one, because for the most part, I don't believe that the people are going to come out and vote more against him. The people that were going to come out and vote against him were going to do it anyway. And this is just something that's fun for people.
But can you motivate people that may not come out in the first place? And now you get some of these extra, some more religious people to come out and say, hey, we need to fight this cause.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think so. No, I think those people, if they see, you know, that the war on religion and they feel that their way of life is under siege, they were going to come out and vote anyway. And just because he came out and said, I'm pro-gay marriage, I don't think you're going to get extra ones of those going, well, I was staying home before, but now I'm going out. No, well, okay, I don't think so.
And you're probably right. And Chris, as far as your point earlier, I mean, yes, it's definitely trending in that direction. However, it doesn't trend evenly. New York, California, sure, simple. But you have certain swing states. Believe it or not, I showed up with some facts.
Well, look at the
factoids.
They don't like it in the place. Here's the thing that gets me. Before you say this, it drives me nuts that the Democrats are going to have their convention, that you are willing to have your convention. They're going to have their convention in a state that voted it down.
Yeah.
I'd say take your money and go somewhere else.
Well, unfortunately, you'd have to go to pick one of the minority states, because 30 of the 50 right now have gay marriage banned.
Iowa passed
31, maybe. North Carolina, swing state, just voted to ban gay marriage, a constitutional amendment, ban gay marriage. It passed 61% to 39%.
What I don't understand is when you're on the...
And it's already illegal, by the way, there.
When you're some kind of moderator on the Senate floor or in the House of Representatives, how do you not say, give me one legitimate, rational, fact-based reason other than your personal hatred or whatever you want to call it. It may not be as extreme as hatred, but your personal feelings regarding the issue.
They will say the Bible's against it.
Yeah. We will get to the religion. We will get to the religion aspect shortly.
The Bible condones slave ownership as well.
We will get to the religion aspect. You're all going to have to put your seatbelt on
for a
second.
Easy, Sparky.
Yeah.
Guys, if I could pounding
the Bible over here, or the fake Bible. No, we're going to get to that. Right now, though, the question is it smart for him to do it? I mean, and here's a thought.
I think the positive outweighs the negative.
Well, I mean, it's a money thing, I think, for him at this point. I mean, first of all, he might have been outed by Biden shortly. Two days beforehand, yeah. Biden said this.
And you're comfortable with same-sex marriage now?
I am Vice President of the United States of America. The president sets the policy. I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women married men are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction beyond that.
Now, that was supposedly not planned and rumored to have forced Obama's hand before he wanted to come out with that.
I disagree with that assessment. I really do. I think...
You think the White House is lying about it?
No. I think Bush and Cheney didn't agree on this.
Yes, but...
And I think that just because the vice president comes out...
The president specifically said that Biden's comment made him act sooner than he wanted to. Mm-hmm. So, unless you're telling me he's lying as well on it, I'm assuming that is the case. I'm assuming he felt that way anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a question of when he was going to. I don't buy the my feelings are evolving. If you're evolving, I want wings at the end of it.
Gus, I have to ask, you don't have children, do you? Because I'd love to know how you plan on explaining to those kids that we had Dick Cheney as a vice president of this country, who is a guy, if you know anything about this guy's background, he literally is some kind of overlord from a science fiction film. He's one of the, even amongst Republicans, he voted against federal funding for AIDS research. Obviously, this is many, many years ago now, but against the Clean Air and Water Act. This guy is quite literally Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I mean, and evil. I would love to see that when they did that heart transplant. I would love to see his old heart. I believe it's black and festering and probably has worms in it.
And yet, he wasn't supportive of gay marriage.
It's amazing what a gay daughter will do for you.
Yeah. But he also hid her. Literally kept her.
She was in a cardboard box in the basement for 25 years.
She worked for him, but they made it a point not to present her publicly.
It was known. It was very known. But now the question is his. A couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, they had the Clooney fundraiser, and a lot of people believe a bonus for Obama will be the money from the homosexual community replacing the Wall Street money that he may not be getting this time around. Certainly not to the same numbers.
I would say it already has. I mean, it wasn't his. They say his take was $15 million, correct?
From that dinner,
from that one fund, that one single event,
$40,000 a person. Then they raised a bunch of money by raffling off tickets.
I would just like to say right here, right now, that I fully support gay marriage, love gay people, and you can send the checks to the following address.
As soon as you go to the Clooney,
I'm fine with gay money.
as soon as you walked in, Clooney cornered you and said,
"You're out." You're in or you're out right now.
Every time. $40,000, you're in or you're out.
Right when you walk through the door, he's standing there. Come here for a second.
You're in or you're out. Right now.
Yeah, every time. Clooney, I'm in, buddy. But we're talking about a guy in Obama who, by the way, just lost 40% of the vote in West Virginia to an inmate.
Yeah, what a really, really bad haircut.
Keith Judd, yeah, no, I thought he was wearing some kind of coonskin cap, and then it turned out, no, that was his head. He was the guy. No, but this is another part that blows my mind. Keith Judd, who is in prison for making threats at a university, University of New Mexico in 1999, was able to get on a state ballot in West Virginia by paying a $2,500 fee and filing a form. Yet, do you remember you and I speaking a couple of months ago about how Gingrich and Santorum couldn't get into certain primary ballots? Yeah. Keith Judd, the inmate, got in. That says a lot to me, but he got 40% of the vote because he's not Obama.
Does this country have, does that state have no shame?
It's West Virginia. Have you ever been?
Replace shame with education. Do they not have education?
How do you, damn right, that makes sense. I mean,
he got 40% of the vote and 30% of his own teeth.
If I hadn't read this myself, I would think you guys were clowning on me. I think I was the victim of a practical joke right now, you telling me that.
No, this is the only thing that we're honest with you about. But now, like you said, with Romney...
Later, I'm going to tell you where babies come from. Yeah,
Romney has now not only figured, okay, well, Obama's pro-gay marriage. I'm not only going to be against gay marriage, he's against civil unions now, which is farther to the right than Bush was.
Wait, Romney is?
Yes, Romney said he's against civil unions as well.
I thought that just, like, North Carolina...
He said he's against marriage, civil unions, but he did say... In states where they're allowed to adopt, he's fine with that. I think it depends on where he's standing and who asked him the question.
But isn't that every issue with Romney?
Yes.
Seriously? If he thought that it would help his election chances, he would be pro-gay marriage. I have no doubt in my mind.
No, I agree with you. If he thought it would help his chances, he would marry
he would
you
marry,
right now.
Yes.
There is no doubt. But he might have been standing in North Carolina, which we just mentioned, became the 31st state, I believe, to ban gay marriage, even though it was already banned. Listen to this.
In North Carolina, where voters turned out in large numbers to pass a constitutional amendment that defines marriage as solely between a man and a woman. While North Carolina law already bans same-sex marriage, the amendment means civil unions and potentially other types of domestic partnerships will no longer be recognized legally by the state. Some lawyers say the measure is vaguely worded and could impact the state's 150,000 heterosexual couples who live together but are unmarried. Others warn it may invalidate domestic violence protections, undercut child custody arrangements, and jeopardize hospital visiting rights. A spokeswoman for the pro-amendment group, Vote for Marriage North Carolina, argued that, quote, we are not anti-gay, we are pro-marriage. And the point, the whole point, is simply that you don't rewrite the nature of God's design for marriage based on the demands of a group of adults.
Here's my
issue. Adults. Yes. No, leave it up to the kids.
Yeah. If God specifically comes down tomorrow and holds a press conference and says, this is how I see marriage, okay.
Yeah, what year are we living in where we take adults seriously who claim to speak on behalf of God?
It's getting worse, by the way.
This nonsense should have ended at least 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You would think.
We are talking about a figment of someone's imagination, and people are,
and they're swearing by it. But just the defense, here's what gets me about the whole thing. I mean, even if you take the God element out of it completely, these people, the defense of marriage, it's like, have you looked at the success rate of marriage? You are defending something that on its own 50%. Is not doing well.
50% of the people don't do it well. And we've asked this.
Any city in the country, if you have a sporting team and their winning percentage was 50%.
The Mets would take it.
Well, okay.
The Mets would take it.
There are a few teams that might be a step up. Their fans would be extremely unhappy.
Yeah. But they're not questioning their success rate. Somehow... Well, here's what cracks me up.
They are questioning it, though. They're not saying they're doing it great.
Their argument is not, hey, we're doing it very well. Their argument is, you can't do it. It's not God's... That's not the way God wants it. I don't agree with them, obviously, but... And I don't disagree with the, you know, debate of, you guys aren't doing it very well. What the hell's the difference? But their argument is still based on God. And that always comes down to, you can't change somebody's mind... When eventually, you can have whatever debate you want. When their final answer, when you keep questioning and questioning and questioning, their final answer becomes, that's what my God wants. There's no compromise. There's no reasoning with that.
Right, and you're not going to win them over to your side. I understand that. But that doesn't mean we should be catering to that segment.
No doubt.
Or moving in that direction.
No doubt. And it also begs this question, which when they've said this, you know, we're defending marriage. Well, what my parents have been married for, let me do the math, carry the one, 275 years. And my math is maybe a little fudgy, it could be. It's questionable.
Your mom looks great.
But that is true. Lois, you look fantastic. But the thing is that how is their marriage affected if Bruce and John get married here? Yeah. How does their marriage suffer?
No, they don't. I don't think anyone is that stupid.
It creeps them out.
They're just saying it because you can't come out, in this day and age, you can't come out and say, they're disgusting.
It creeps me out? You can't say it creeps me out?
Right.
I don't want to see two heterosexual, ugly people making out in public either, but I'm not going to ban it.
Let me just...
I would.
I'm going to read from this essay, Gus, this brilliant essay I read on the subject. Homophobes who cite the Bible as the source of their convictions are at best woefully ignorant of what it says or just plain full of shit. If they really wanted to preserve the sanctity of marriage, they wouldn't restrict marriage to some. They'd seek to outlaw divorce for everybody. They'd be in Vegas boycotting nuptials between drunk, hormone-crazed strangers or calling for legislation banning gold diggers from wedding geriatric billionaires. That's the truth. Why aren't they taking measures to improve the state of affairs with marriage, improve the quality of marriage between people who... It makes no sense that somehow it's going to improve by continuing to not allow people to marry.
Because if you outlawed divorce, you would see a major drop in marriage.
How is the solution to a problem the same situation that already exists? Mm-hmm. Do you follow me?
No, I do. I agree. It's all smoke screens. It comes down to, look, we want to be able to deny a certain group of people equal rights. And that's all
Well, that brings up this question. Is homosexuality the last minority group that you are allowed to legitimately publicly debate? There's racists, there's Klansmen, idiots all over the place.
They're marginalized.
Right, and you don't get that person on a news program and his side of the story is, well, I think it's just wrong. That's not, well, they're just inferior.
Yeah, none of that's inferior human beings, which is exactly what was believed about colored people.
Right. Now, that is not going... Is that the phrase you're coming with?
No, do you think anyone ever came out at some point and go, being Negro is a choice?
in Florida, maybe, yes. In Florida, that's possible. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but you won't get that point of view legitimized by having somebody on a regular news program and say, okay, well, this is your point of view. But with homosexuals, you can have somebody stand up there and still do that. Until they eventually get the rights that everybody else has, that will be allowed. Once that happens, then these people will be marginalized also. But they like to fall back on this is the way it's always been.
I don't want to stray too far from the subject, but I have to know why we take this one particular religion seriously in this country. Because if I came to you and said that
90%+
that Lord Xenu, my God, says that homosexuality is an abomination, you would likely have me committed, and rightfully so.
First of all, your Lord Xenu is a slut. Right off the bat.
How dare you, sir?
I will tell you this, because the percentage is 90%+ in this country. That's why.
I would hang out with someone named Lord Xenu.
There's no doubt.
That just sounds fun.
And more than likely, you would be his boy toy.
I would do shots with a Lord Xenu. In fact, there have been times in my life I have been drunk enough where I may have actually done that.
Now, I'll be the first to admit, Gus, I tend to be long-winded on a subject and go off on tangents, but I saw something, a picture on Facebook I thought was fantastic, summed it up nicely. You see this couple, interracial couple, and were apparently at some sort of protest holding a sign that said, our marriage was once illegal too.
That's nice. Great.
That's it.
That's a great sign.
I like that. I just you saw the news clip, the guy is like, if we let two men get married or two women, just because, if you can get married just because you love someone, then a man will be able to marry ice cream if he loves ice cream.
Yeah, I saw that one too. Where do you draw the line?
That kind of statement?
They like to say, where do you draw the line? They come with the bestiality, they come with the incest, and you're like, where do you draw the line? You go, how about at adult human beings?
How about people? Yeah. Yes. Is anyone even suggesting a different line?
But yet here's the thing is, as silly as that seems to us, these morons that are making those statements are in Congress. And there are people that vote for these idiots. And even worse, I mean, when I was younger, there was something in my head that made me think, all right, at least the people in Congress are looking out for the right thing. I didn't follow it. I didn't know. Now you follow it and you go, oh no, they're just as stupid as the rest of the population. Mm-hmm. In Virginia, they were recently voting for prosecutors to become or lawyers to get their judgeship. There were three guys, right, that were getting voted recently. One very pro guns, one very pro union, not big with the Republicans right now, and one has come out as gay. And is also a military veteran, by the way.
Which, as we know, is only the highest honor one can achieve when it's by a conservative or Republican. Then it's something to your credit. Otherwise, it's something you completely disregard.
Well, if you
like
say
in John Kerry's case.
Yeah, if you say you're gay, you can't do it. Gun rights guy, he got it, obviously. Pro-union Democrat, he got his judgeship. However, Tracy Thorn Begland, who has been a lawyer, very successful, nobody's really questioning his credentials, but they waved him off, and they insisted his outspokenness on gay rights disqualified him from being an impartial judge. And they said basically 20 years ago, he came out on the show Nightline, came out of the closet to challenge the military's policy on gays serving openly in the military. And their take on that was, now this is interesting to me. Their take on that is because of the way he did that, they felt that was wrong, the way he questioned the military. They said, once you question the military, and you say, but the military gave him an honorable discharge. So the military doesn't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. But these people said he can't be impartial.
Well, they were claiming, and I'm not defending them in any way. I think they're completely wrong. But they're saying, as a judge, he would be an activist judge. He wouldn't be impartial. Only when it came to issues...
Right, but now
homosexuality.
Right, now what does that mean exactly? Does that mean if he would
be fair to homosexuals?
Well, does that mean that if he sentences someone, their sentence will be where you can go to prison or you can enter a gay marriage? Like, what is he going to do? Is he going to force people to gay marry? How is that going to stop him from being impartial?
I think they're far more concerned saying that he would be on the side of, you know, gay rights, gay teachers, gay adoption.
But there are laws and there are not laws. Mm-hmm. He can't he can't enforce gay marriage.
Well, we're
if he's
on the same
marriage.
Side.
You
he can't snap
that,
his fingers
saying,
and make it.
What can he do? What can he? There's still laws. He's been following the laws as a prosecutor. He would have to follow the laws as a judge.
Well, you know, I actually I was nominated too to be a judge, and my stance on rape has always been against rape, and therefore I've been disqualified for my consistency on that.
That
issue.
is way to make a stand, though. By the way, way to go out on a limb on that one. You know, and recently, what's his name? Manny Pacquiao got in a little bit of trouble. They refused his entrance into the Grove in L.A. for an interview. Which is, you know, based on the crowd I've seen there, he has to be the only person ever not allowed into the Grove.
You have to blame the interpreter in this case, though, I think. Have you ever heard Manny talk?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't know what he's saying.
No, I've heard him talk. I haven't understood
You're
him.
You're right.
Talk.
I actually speak a couple words in Tagalog.
Who does not know, Manny Pacquiao, the boxer, recently did an interview with a conservative paper where he had said that he was against gay marriage. And they asked him about Obama's coming out for gay marriage. He was against it. In the article, it seemed, or it was taken, that he quoted Leviticus, therefore condemning homosexualities, that they saying they should be killed, blood is on their hands. However, according to himself, and then eventually the guy who actually wrote the article, he said, no, he never actually said that. I quoted Leviticus.
But there is a guy in the news right now, though, some lawmaker, someone of some prominence who stood behind that. Have you heard this? He's garnered support on Facebook for literally making that declaration.
There's guys in Congress. There's people in Congress that quote Leviticus all the time. I'm gonna read something that you sent to me. Dr. Laura, you guys know Dr. Laura. Somebody, and I believe this man's name is James Kaufman, wrote her a letter years ago, I believe. Dr. Laura, thank you for doing so much to educate people regarding God's law. This is in response to her saying homosexuality, as it's stated in Leviticus 18:22, is, by the way...
Is that year 1822?
No, we're going to throw out numbers. You should just shut up during that part, because No, they're not. It's part of the Bible. Dr. Laura claimed that homosexuality is, quote, an abomination, according to Leviticus. So this guy says, thank you for doing so much to educate people regarding God's law. Learned a great deal. I simply blah, blah, blah. And I need to do some. I need some advice from you, however, regarding some elements of God's law and how to follow them. One, Leviticus 25:44 states that I may possess slaves, both male and female, provided they are purchased from neighboring nations. A friend of mine claims that this applies to Mexicans, but not Canadians. Can you clarify why can't I own a Canadian? Question two: I would like to sell my daughter into slavery as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. In this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? Question three. I know I am allowed no contact with a woman. We'll move on to question four. Question four.
Oh, do the period story. It's a period piece.
Question four. When I burn a bull on the altar as a sacrifice, I know it creates a pleasing odor for the Lord. Leviticus 1:9. The problem is my neighbors. They claim the odor is not pleasing to them. Should I smite them? Question five.
You need more smiting.
I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly states he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or should I let the police do it? Question depends what color he is.
Well, is Sabbath is Saturday or Sunday?
Yes.
Well, that's why you have Seventh-day Adventists, because some people argue that it should be on Saturday.
Is it? But no, which one is it?
It's supposed to be Sunday.
Sunday.
Because that's the day
we are all in trouble.
That's the day that the Lord got tired and rested from creating the universe and everything in it.
I was able to do this, but he got winded on day seven.
You know, there's so many things that I can't believe people brush past.
God needed cross trainers.
Here's the idea. God made heaven and earth, right? But he needed humans to print the Bible and spread the word for it. That, to me, is the most bizarre thing. He needed the printing press to be invented by humans, 1,300 years after the Bible was written, so that his word could... He forgot to market his own word. He uses Amway. He uses word of mouth.
Yeah, God was hoping Rick Santorum would win in order to pass his word around. That, which seems to make perfect sense to me. I mean, that blows my mind, but...
How much do you expect him to do? I mean, the guy's busy. He's gotten his face on tacos and sweaty shirts, and you guys are pissed he didn't write a book?
Apparently, it depends. Some people think he wrote a book. Word for word, they believe this stuff, which Apparently,
I think if you can get your image on a potato, you've done enough.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
Here's the I don't know if you guys know this, but here the deal is that supposedly when Christ came down, Christ the Son, who was also his Father, who was also God, who came down to earth on a suicide mission, that guy, that once he sacrificed himself, that kind of rendered some of the tenets of the Old Testament obsolete, where you no longer need to sacrifice animals and some of those kind of harsher things. Yet when it's convenient, that Christians have no problem going back and including the Old Testament. So apparently what Christ did by executing himself is allow them to cherry pick what they want to when they want to
Old Testament. Yeah, but I believe those Bible quotes we just read through, which actually I thank you very much for giving me, I believe probably points out the ridiculousness of most of it in the first place. I mean, if you don't, once you read some of it and go, well, this is silly, but then you read the other part and go, well, this part's God's word. Stop it.
Here's another thing, man, that should settle this debate right here and now.
There is no debate at this point in time, by the way.
If we had more than 15 listeners, we could settle the issue right here and now. They say that abomination, if you know, that's where it comes from, Leviticus. The homosexuality is an abomination. That's not what the Bible says. That is in a modern English translation of a different word. I don't want to go too off topic here, but if you actually...
Too late. Too late. Go ahead. Finish your thought, my man.
No, I the word is tova. Ask any Jew, not a modern Jew.
I'm a Jew. Don't ask me.
Familiar with the Old Testament.
Room, you're one third of this room, and you're the only non-Jew.
The word is tova, and it means non-Israelite cultic practices. It's the same word they use. I have a list of things right here that they idolatry, usury, pride, tova. These are all the same things.
Yes. Yeah. And that may conclude my Bible section of
women
the,
wearing pants. Is given the same title, the same derogatory moniker as homosexuality in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Are you trying to tell me that it's not modern and doesn't make a whole lot of sense and it's contradictory? Is that what
I'm going
to
go
me?
Out on a limb and say that, Gus. Holy I'm going to go out on a limb.
Shit. Holy shit. All right, you know what? Let me get to
Do
some
we
happier
pictures
topics.
Of puppies?
let's take a ride real quick because I want to get the hell away from this topic. Let's take a ride in a cane train.
I miss Herman.
Herman eventually made a stop over somewhere around Mitt Romneyville. Listen to this.
Here is my unconventional endorsement. My unconventional endorsement is the people. We the people of this nation are still in charge. That's who I'm endorsing.
I hereby officially and enthusiastically endorse Newt Gingrich for President of the United States.
999.
The numbers are on Mitt Romney's side, and yes, I am always saying I will support whoever the nominee is, and it looks like Mitt Romney is going to be that nominee, and we do need to get behind him.
At what point is an endorsement not really worth it?
Is it actually counterproductive?
Yeah. I was the third choice from this clown, and he didn't even really endorse me. He went, well, it seems like he's going to be our only choice. So we might as well do it.
The last man standing, since there is no one else I can endorse.
But isn't that really what the primary process is? I mean, everybody is behind someone or themselves until you whittle it down to one. It's like, all right,
yes,
this is it.
Right, but I'm just saying, if you're Herman Cain and you say, all right, I'm out, I'm going to endorse Newt Gingrich. What? Let me rephrase that. I'm going to endorse the people. I'm going to endorse the people. Then I'm going to endorse Newt Gingrich. Now everybody's out. All right, I'm going to endorse Romney.
Sure. Well, endorsers, it's like, I'm willing to throw my support because this is the Republican nominee. That's not, I don't think you're selling out. It's like, that is what everyone is going to do eventually.
Yes, but everyone doesn't make an announcement about it.
Oh.
I'm not saying he shouldn't vote for the man. I expect him to vote for the man if he's not molesting somebody at the time. But I'm assuming that endorsement brings him maybe nobody.
Oh, no argument. I mean, I don't think Herman Cain's bringing any votes to the party. He's not bringing any snacks.
He's bringing pizza. Well, he's bringing pizza.
He's bringing pizza. Not anymore. But I mean, look back to when it was Obama and Hillary in the primary. You had people on Hillary's side going, there's no way I would ever be behind that guy. And then when he was the nominee, it's like, I'm behind that guy.
Well, that's
the way it works.
That's not the question. The question is the endorsement. Nobody's questioning whether the Republicans are going to get behind the Republican. The question is what does I support this guy mean publicly when it comes right after the audio clip of you endorsing or supporting everybody else but that guy first?
I don't
Does
think...
Does that mean anything, is but what did, I'm saying. It, did, I like you, Drew.
His didn't mean anything to anyone along the line. When he was for the people were like, thanks, no thanks. He didn't help Gingrich. Did Gingrich swell when Herman Cain
the question
said,
is not
him?
The question is not really whether he's getting votes. He couldn't. If he could get votes, he'd still be in the race. Yeah. The question is what the hell is the point? Why, at what point does that endorsement hurt you? Is what I'm saying. Does that, if anything, does it go, really, that guy? Not only did that guy come around, but that guy came around after he picked everybody else.
I think it's a non-issue. I don't think it hurts
I support
you.
The Hamburglar.
I don't think it helps. I think it's a non-issue. It's like, you're asking somebody, it's like, who cares? That's like if they ask Joe the plumber who he's for. You think it's not going to matter? They may ask him. It's like, oh, go ask him. Remember that name, Joe the plumber?
Yes, but once again, nobody's asking if he's getting votes. We're asking if it sounds silly to your own thing if you go, if somebody for Obama says, I'm for Obama, but first they go, well, first, I'm for the guy who's in prison in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Then I'm for some people in my neighborhood. No, none of those people made it. You know what? Obama's probably going to get the Democratic nomination. That I'm thinking that audio just doesn't help. I mean, you can't even get that guy among this small group of selection of people to select from.
I just think the bigger issue is the media is willing to talk to people for no reason whatsoever.
Well, the media is getting ready. The media is digging because things are being leaked. Right now, we're talking about the Romney pranks. Does that stuff mean anything to anybody? Romney beating
it does
up
to
and,
me. I think that definitely
is that fair
speaks,
game.
Here's the thing: what I think speaks to his character more than the act itself.
Well, hold on. Let me tell people. For anyone that doesn't know, there's some stories came out about Romney when he was in prep school. Back when he was in prep school, a couple of things. A few of the lesser ones that are talked about is him shouting at a supposedly gay student. My favorite is walking a blind teacher into a door. By the way, funny. Jesus. I give him funny. And then
that one I like.
Yeah, that one. That's what I'm saying. That one I give him. But then the one that got all the press was when he and a bunch of people, they tackled the gay guy
physically and restrained
and cut his hair.
Borderline kidnapping.
Yeah, he didn't like that this person. Now, even if he didn't do it because he was gay, even if he says, you know, it was about the hair. You know, he shouldn't have hair like that. I have less of a problem with him actually doing that because people do stupid things in high school. That, okay, I'll accept that. If you said, I did something stupid in high school, it was wrong, I shouldn't have done it, I'm a better individual now, I'm sorry. But when you say you don't remember that incident, that is total bullshit. I did way more drugs in my life than Mitt Romney has done. I assume that.
You've done way more drugs today than Mitt Romney has done.
Right.
Yes.
Now, the whole thing is, and if I did something like that in high school, I remember weird stuff I did in high school. You can't claim you don't remember the incident. That, I think, speaks to his character.
Yeah,
not the act.
He gave a vague, back in high school, I did some dumb things. If anybody was hurt by that or offended, obviously I apologize. If anybody was hurt or offended.
Yeah, but first he said, I don't remember that incident.
Yes,
he
did.
If I did something like that.
Right, he did say, he laughed and said, I do not remember, but I did do stupid things in high school.
Yeah, but admit it. That's what I'm saying. When you claim you don't remember, I do not believe that at all.
No. I think I don't think anyone would argue with you on that. But now the other side is starting to probe on whether or not they can come with the Reverend Wright story again 4 years after they tried it before. The story is the owner of the Chicago Cubs as well as the founder of Ameritrade.
Which sucks because I have an Ameritrade account and now I want to cancel it. I'm serious.
Mr. Ricketts is his name. He does sound like a disease anyway.
he's the villain in a Dr. Seuss story, isn't he?
Apparently, the New York Times had discovered that he had about $10 million he wanted to spend on some campaign advertising. And so he had asked Fred Davis, who does these kind of things, solicited some ideas, one of which was titled How to Stop Barack Hussein Obama. They like to throw the middle name in there. Yeah. And it basically talked about bringing up the Reverend Wright stuff that John McCain didn't want to do 3-4 years ago. The question is that fair and is it effective if they do that again? Romney said no. He does not want to do it. Of course, he said that after the New York Times thing was leaked. So originally it seemed in that note, it sounded like he gave a preliminary okay, never gave a final okay, and then decided when
typical
it got
Romney.
Press.
I, you know, I'm not involved. I don't know anything about it except for I kind of knew about it.
I'll stand on the fence until you tell me which side I need to be on. Is a Reverend Wright campaign effective?
No.
I got to say, what I've read on the subject, I don't like it. I don't care for it. Obama was, you know, willing to kind of go to, not necessarily go to bat, but disclaim him at first, and only when certain specific remarks, by inflammatory remarks, were made public after that, suddenly Obama was willing to distance himself from him. So
I could only imagine if I was an older black man, how bitter I would be, by the way. So when you get an older black man in this country who may not be fully happy with how everything works, understandable. But that being said, I'm not going to endorse everything that that man has said. However, that technique didn't work 4 years ago.
No, and I don't think it
wasn't fully used 4 years ago.
But I think it was pretty fully used. They went hard after that.
Yes, but McCain eventually didn't want to continue it. But it's used, and it's been talked about. It's been talked about over almost 300 times on Hannity's show since Obama's been in office.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Again, this goes back to
literally,
the earlier
point. That's an actual number.
You can use it to, you know, it's red meat for the base, as they like to say. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anyone wondering, I'm just not sure who I'm going to vote for, Obama or Romney.
This doesn't. Yeah, this clinches the matter.
That Reverend Wright commercial I saw.
You see, here's where I disagree with you. Here's where I disagree with you, even though I wish I couldn't. I think it's fair to do. I don't think it's going to play enough of a role. But I do think, similar to when Clinton was in office, I think there's a handful of people, you know, now when you say the undecideds are like, ooh, should I vote for him? Should I not vote for him? I don't think they care. They don't think about it until it's time to vote, until their friends are going to vote or their wife is going to vote or whoever. But I think there are people that don't pay attention. And when the same bullshit is put out over and over and over again, and then the other side has to debate it and argue it, even if it's ridiculous, over and over and over again, eventually people get tired of it. Bill Clinton, the country was running great when Clinton was in office. But by the time he was leaving office, people were so sick of this bullshit scandal and talking about what the meaning of is and all of that crap. Now, part of that, all of that is manufactured by the Republicans. Doesn't matter how realistic the reason or how logical the reason to get him out is. If they keep talking about it, people will get annoyed and tune it out.
That being said, if Clinton could have run for a third term, you think he would have won?
Nope. I think, but you can think that, but his numbers were down. His numbers were down. What's his name? The other clown. I mean, I think what's his name should have used him, but he didn't even want to use him because Clinton was so toxic at that point in time. He didn't want to use him to campaign. So, I mean, is it fair? No. I mean, now, and the funny thing is, now they like to talk about Clinton like, oh, well, Obama's no Clinton. Clinton knew how to get people to the table. Like, you tried to impeach him.
Yeah.
How in the world do you use him as an example now when you tried to impeach him? And if you're trying to impeach him because the chick he was hooking up with was not good looking enough for a president, fine. But otherwise, you're all doing the same shit. That's horrible.
As a general rule, I go, you know what? She's in my league. That's my rule of thumb. She's in. Oh shit! Sorry, man.
So there's also in Arizona. There's I want to get to this real quick one more time. There's Ken Bennett is the Arizona Secretary of State, and he's he's such an idiot. This guy, Arizona Secretary of State, is petitioning the state of Hawaii to confirm the existence of President Barack Obama's long form birth certificate, which he released last year while he was ordering bin Laden to get shot in the face. However, Bennett said he would, he's not a birther himself, as they all like to say they're not when they question whether or not he's actually a president. And then he throws this bullshit quote in that they like to do. I'm not a birther. I believe the president was born in Hawaii, or at least I hope he was.
In other words, if it turns out, in the unlikely event, it turns out that he wasn't born in Hawaii, they can tie themselves to that. But if it turns out...
No, there's no chance, and he knows there's no chance. And the only reason he's saying that is because he wants to say, well, I'm seeming rational, But let me throw out one bit of vague half-sentence so anyone who wants to believe the conspiracy can believe the conspiracy.
Put a little more doubt in your mind.
Exactly.
In the weak mind. Yeah.
Now, officials in Hawaii have not responded, but that is because in 2010, before he released it, the birther idiots had such a flood of activity asking for Obama's birth certificate that a Republican governor signed a bill allowing the state officials to ignore the request for the document. Yet this idiot feels I still need to see it, even though it was released.
I think a good guideline is if Donald Trump has stopped talking about it, maybe you should.
Yeah. I love how, you know, one thing that amazes me is how sometimes we let people off the hook on certain things. Like, have you heard what Donald Trump said? I have people in Hawaii. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah. And the things they're turning up.
Nah,
where
you
are you?
Jackass.
Put yourself. Come on, you're so bold, Donald Trump. You're so in my face. Come on, be a man. Stand up and tell me.
He gave himself. Donald Trump gave himself credit for that.
For him releasing.
Yeah, when he released it, he said, "I'm very proud of what I've done." So there's nothing he's ever going to.
What have you done? Made an ass of yourself?
No, in his mind, and his position was, I talked about it so much, I brought it to the forefront, it forced him to produce the document.
So his failure was a victory, is what you're telling me. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Well, it's much the same as Romney taking credit for the car industry.
Yeah. Just whatever we say now, hopefully people won't do any research and they'll believe it.
Drew, you have to help me out here. I'm a little bit confused because apparently, according to Romney, he is responsible for certain benefits that the car industry fell upon the car industry, but not responsible for the job losses.
Right.
Yes. Let's hit new Trayvon Martin evidence just came out. Listen to this.
Groundbreaking evidence released in the investigation into what really happened the night 17-year-old Trayvon Martin was shot by neighborhood watchman George Zimmerman.
We now know Zimmerman was arrested at gunpoint. And here, clear pictures of George Zimmerman taken at the police station just moments after the shooting. The back of his head cut and bleeding in a squad car here, his battered nose already swelling, bloody. A doctor's report first obtained by ABC News diagnosed Zimmerman with a closed fracture, broken nose. One witness tells police he saw Martin astride Zimmerman, pummeling him, mixed martial arts style, and a paramedic reported several injuries.
He had some abrasions on his forehead. He had kind of like a deformity on the nose, kind of like it was swollen. He had some abrasions on his cheeks and his face.
And the documents show Zimmerman did not require stitches, did not suffer a concussion, and declined to go to the hospital on multiple occasions, saying he thought he'd be okay. But tonight, a key question remains. No one witnessed Zimmerman shoot, or what sparked that fateful fight.
Hurry up, they're right outside my house.
The residents reporting these chilling howls. Raising another key issue, who was calling for help that night? Police determined these howls to be those of Zimmerman, who apparently shouted 14 times in a 38-second span, according to an investigator. And another point of particular contention, the investigator says, I asked Mr. Martin if the voice calling for help was that of his son. Mr. Martin quietly responded, no.
This is mostly my problem with what was going on in the first place, which is everybody tried. They wanted to not only, they had to talk about it because otherwise this guy was going to walk and there was going to be no trial. But everybody assigned this guy motivation. They said he was a racist, that, you know, all sorts of stuff, which he still very well may be. But certain things come out now where you go, oh, really? Well, he was beat up pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that was him yelling? Oh, his dad thought that wasn't his own. Trayvon Martin's dad said that wasn't my son's voice screaming for help. Trayvon's knuckles were beaten up. You're like, now everyone goes, well, maybe this guy did. Now, there's a couple of things, though. The police investigator still said that the whole thing could have been avoided, obviously, if Zimmerman just would have done what they told him to do and stay in the car. So the fact that he started the whole thing in the first place, but that may not be enough to get the conviction that they're looking for. The question is, does the press set up a certain standard that now a couple of things all of a sudden make it look like, oh, this is a complete opposite of what we've already thought.
This is such an indelible mark on the media's credibility because now, interest in the case is waning as any case, any news.
You have to wait for new info to come out?
Right, but now there's going to be far more people that are still, the only thing they know about this case is what was initially reported, which apparently is either completely wrong or insufficient, in its content. So that's what disturbs me. You know, that there's probably people out there who aren't aware of these updates.
But every update we have, or almost every bit of fact that has come out or evidence has come out, there has been something the exact opposite. Those audio tapes, I have heard people say that. That has to be. That's not Zimmerman. We've played on here an analyst saying, "Oh, that's not Zimmerman."
I'm just not clear on some of the. They keep reporting these things, and they all they kind of report everything as though there's some kind of like evidence that like maybe this is somehow justified. So the kid ends up attacking a guy who was attacking him, and because he won the fight, he deserves to get shot. I don't get that logic.
Yeah, no, and that's the question, but the question is going to be now. I mean, there's no question about that. It doesn't seem to be. It's just what ended up happening in those in that half a minute that nobody saw. But I don't think there's much doubt that if George Zimmerman stayed in his car and didn't follow the guy, that
it all could have been avoided.
Right.
I think one of the biggest problems, though, with media is in general, I'll say this quickly and then you can move on, but it used to be before everyone had the internet and everything else, news was created differently. It was researched, you got the story, and then presented it. But now, no one wants to be last or even second to get the story out. So as soon as there's any bit of information, it's spread as
fact.
That
is true.
I can't tell you how often I see typos on Yahoo News, and I think that's evidence of how bad. All right.
Let's hit the financial news real quick. A few billion now lost.
It's one of the world's biggest investment banks, and its CEO among the harshest critics of government efforts to rein in risky financial bets. But in a late-night conference call to shareholders, J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon told investors the bank may have taken too big a risk.
We're reducing that hedge, but in hindsight, the new strategy was flawed, complex, poorly reviewed, poorly executed, and poorly monitored.
Dimon blamed the $2 billion loss on a complex trading scheme that was, ironically, designed to help manage the bank's credit risks. Instead, the trading blunder bolstered the argument that big banks cannot be trusted to handle risks on their own. CMC Markets analyst Brenda Kelly.
It does play very well, as he says, into the pundits who have been advocating the Volcker Rule and also the actual scenario of being too big to fail.
The Volcker Rule is named after former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker. It would restrict the biggest U.S. banks from making risky investments that do not benefit bank customers. Volcker said such trades involving credit default swaps and other derivatives played a key role in the financial crisis of 2008.
How in the world do you argue, and I won't pretend to understand finances at that level, but how in the world do you argue still, well, you know what? They don't need to be regulated. If you can afford to lose now $3 billion and still be fine, you're not overregulated right now. You're doing okay. So for these people to say, well, you know what? We still, because the guy in charge of JP Morgan is the biggest advocate of we're being regulated too much. And so when you can take these chances, say, well, it was all poorly done, but you know, if you lose too much, you're going to be insured by the American people. The fact that you don't think you need regulation is ridiculous. But we're going to move on quickly because we're running low on time. I want to talk about this. This is bumming my childhood out. My whole memory of my childhood is being bummed out by this.
Would you give a guy a foot massage?
Fuck you.
You know, I'm kind of tired. I can use a foot massage myself.
Yo, man, you best back off. I'm getting a little pissed here.
There's a sensuous thing going on where you know, you don't talk about it, but you know it, she knows it.
Fucking Marcellus knew it. John Travolta, I don't understand. I don't care if John Travolta's gay. What I don't understand is why he can't just hook up with a man quietly like Tom Cruise does and do it in the back or in a basement somewhere. Why do you have to keep getting a massage, taking off your robe and walking around like Mr. Magoo?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Why practically beg for this to happen to you?
Here's the thing. As someone who teaches massage therapy on occasion, I'm teaching another class this Wednesday morning. I should not have to tell my students, listen, one of the most important things I can tell you is if John Travolta calls, tell him you're busy. It's not.
Now, part of this story was revealed to a guy who, quote, has followed Travolta to bathhouses for years to write the book, You'll Never Spa in This Town Again, about John Travolta doing this to people, which leads me to this question.
That's a very limited book.
What kind of loser scumbag follows Travolta around to see who he's pissing off?
Don't use my real name.
Not anymore, I won't. I don't understand it, but, you know, and there a quick rumor came out about him, Jeff Conaway, the guy that played Knicky in Grease. He had passed away, and his fiance said a few years ago at a failed suicide attempt, he put in a note that one, which seems weird for a suicide note, but that he ended his
goodbye, cruel world, John Travolta.
John Travolta
gave me a reach around.
You know, worse, he said he woke up in the 90s to John Travolta blowing him, which is he ended the friendship. I'm assuming he ended the friendship shortly after the blowjob finished. But either way, if you're Travolta, can you not get somebody other than your unconscious friend on the couch? I don't understand that.
Well, you kind of go with what's there.
Hickey from Kinnicky is like a Hallmark card. A blowjob from Zuko apparently is a lot more than that.
And haven't two of these cases been dropped?
One case has been dropped. The other two hired Gloria Allred. Which is bad enough for John. All right, let's go to headlines real quick. dried flesh of dead infants appeared to be the secret ingredient in a health supplement reportedly being smuggled out of China. The performance-enhancing pills touted for increasing vitality and sex has been found in the luggage of hundreds and hundreds of people going to South Korea, according to officials. 17,500 have been confiscated, capsules. Anybody? Apparently the Chinese have been silent or soylent, should I say, on this?
I've always loved Chinese food, so I'm going to abstain.
Is it worse that you're making these things or that you're smuggling them in is bad news?
I don't mind, you know, no MSG for me. I don't care if there's a little baby.
I will tell you that I worked in a high-end hotel that used to specialize in authentic Mandarin cuisine and like child Soylent Green is probably the least disgusting thing I've heard.
Octomom, who is sadly for her constantly on our show, eventually decided that in order to move out of the shoe that she lives in with her 1,000 people in her family, 1,000 kids, she decided to do porn in Europe. She said it was a little weird because she's used to a bunch of people going in her, coming out of her, not going in her. But she apparently said they made her look glamorous, and for the first time in her life, I felt beautiful and sexy. I'm very excited for it to come out. Usually when she says that, she means babies. In this case, the film, Octomom. Would you see it?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would see it.
No, look, I'm not going to rent it or anything, but if it shows up, will I look at it?
If it shows up.
I'm not going to rent it, but if Netflix gives me the option.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like if Chris calls me over and goes, look at my computer. I'll be like, yeah, I'll check it out.
Dude, check this out. I'm going to take that jar of jelly beans where you try and guess how many in it with her. It's the stretch marks. You try and guess how many stretch marks and the winner.
Well, you know, it was always a big argument. They wanted to use condoms in porn. And I'm like, that is a horrible idea. But this is the only time I can think that's probably justified.
We had lost Donna Summer. Apparently, we only get about 29,336 days of summer. And then she is gone. The queen of disco. Passed away from cancer.
Disco is officially dead.
Yes, it is. Passed away from cancer at the age of 63. She claimed that she got the lung cancer from 9/11, inhaling that. Her doctors told her it was from her smoking habit that she had. She told them no. They are incorrect.
But sure. She was a better singer than medical tech.
All right, we got less than a minute. Let's go to what is wrong with people. Chris, who's your guy?
Pass.
Chris is passing. I'm going with whoever that guy, and I don't even remember his name, but the guy that compared, you know, gay people to marrying ice cream, because I like ice cream, I like gay people, and I'm not marrying either one. They are not related.
You don't want Bob and a stick?
No.
I'm going to go with Ken Bennett of Arizona, the I'm not a birther, but I'm going to act like a birther idiot. You know what? I understand it may not help you get votes, but at some point in time, if you want to tell your constituents that they're morons and nobody's going to waste their time asking for the birth certificate of the president who showed his birth certificate while killing the most wanted man in the world.
Both short form and long form.
Yeah. Yes. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much.